working hard puts you ahead. But then we do get attached and addicted to the busy. And I think a lot of women feel like, I want the spaciousness, I want the ease and flow, I want the fruits of my labor. But I'm afraid that if I change how I'm doing my business, I am gonna lose the cash flow. I'm gonna lose my edge, total identity crisis.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Woman podcast, where we explore what it means to create a truly exquisite life. I'm your host, Amira Alvarez, inviting you to be part of these intimate conversations about feminine ambition, what lies beyond traditional notions of success, and how to answer the question, what's next when you've already achieved so much? Let's dive in.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez, the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman, a global coaching company that helps women have an exquisite life while making bank. Yes, you can do both. And I'm also the host of this podcast. So I'm super excited to bring to you today an amazing woman in her own right. And we're going to find out more about what makes her unstoppable and what she brings to the world. So join me in welcoming Lori Kennedy. Welcome, Lori. So good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Lori has a great business. Lori, why don't you introduce us to your business?
I am the founder and CEO of the Wellness Business Hub, and we are a business development, business coaching company that works with practitioners and coaches from all over the world to help them get started and grow their own online business.
Fantastic. I love it. I love it. So some of you may fit that world and be like, oh, this is for me. This is exactly for me. And some of you are going to be like, eh, that's not my world. But I want you to listen up, because we're going to take a rollicking good time through the life of a woman who's building a business. So let's get started. So tell us a little bit about how you built this business and how it came to be. I love to hear the whole journey. Oftentimes we just do highlights, but if you could fit in a few of the lowlights. Someone who just had me on their podcast asked that question, was like, lowlights? Tell me the lowlights, because we learned so much from our failures, our challenges, the places where we, you know, fell down on our knees. So Lori, tell us a little bit.
I have been in the coaching industry my entire adult life. I've never had a corporate job. I never worked as an employee, you know, at a 9-to-5. I went from being a gymnastics coach at 16 to a personal trainer at 19 when I was in university. And then I did that for many years. And because I was very sick when I was in high school, up until the age of 20, I worked with a naturopathic doctor after getting all the tests that I could possibly get. And, you know, the medical doctors are saying, you're totally fine. Like, you just have acid reflux. I was not totally fine. I was so sick. And I worked with a naturopath. And so I was a personal trainer at this time. And so it was the first time I was 19 years old. And it was really the first time that I understood the connection between the body's ability to heal itself in certain respects, food, nutrition, my own mindset, and the requirement of self-advocacy. And the requirement. And I say that strongly because that has been the theme throughout my whole life, is self-advocacy. And so at 19, I spent a year working on healing my body and healing my gut and healing my hormones and all of that stuff, and really understanding the power of the body and the power of food and all of that good stuff. And so when I was done university and I had spent a year traveling, I went back to school and I became a registered holistic nutritionist. And so I was working as a trainer and I was working as a nutritionist, and I was making no headway as a nutritionist, because when you're in this type of environment, we're not taught business. We're not taught marketing. I didn't even know that I had a business. I didn't identify as a business owner. I was, you know, I am my identity. I am a nutritionist. I am a personal trainer, not I am a business owner. And so I struggled to build a nutrition practice for 2 years. And I went back to, you know, personal training full time because I had just gotten married and we just bought a house. And a couple months later, I found out I was pregnant. And, you know, we needed to pay the bills. And I had a very uncomfortable conversation with my then husband. We are long since happily divorced. And he said to me, you know, when is your hobby business going to start bringing in some money? Like, you're spending all this money, you have all this debt from school, you know, you're out all the time doing stuff, but like, you just, it's a, like, it's a hobby at this point. Like, it's not, it's costing us money.
That's an ouch, but it's a big wake up call and some truth telling there, right?
It really was. And he wasn't mean about it. He was just like, listen, like, we're struggling here because, you know, you're spending a lot of time, you know, you're home, you're not home. And, you know, you're still personal training, but you're only training, you know, 20 hours a week because you're spending the other 20, 25 hours trying to build this nutrition thing. I was renting a clinical space. So I was paying for rent. I was paying for a website. I was paying for liability insurance. I was paying for all this stuff. It was 45 minutes away, gas, the whole nine yards. And he just said to me, he's like, something's got to give. So that was the first really difficult conversation that I ever had. And it was also the first time that I really realized that I was not at all equipped to do what I thought was going to come very easy to me. And it was also, I think, the very first time that I felt completely alone in doing what I was doing. Like, I could cry thinking about it. And this was like, I mean, I've been divorced since 2015. So this was a long time ago. But like, I think that was the first time that I felt really alone. And I know that isolation and loneliness, like, I felt that many times over the years. There's times now in my role that I very much feel that way, even still. And so that was a big blow, but he wasn't wrong. And I had to get out of that situation because it wasn't helpful. It wasn't helpful to my own self-worth. Like, I just felt every day that I was failing. I was failing at home. I wasn't contributing to the finances. I was costing us money. I was failing at work. Like, I wasn't doing a good job with my personal training clients because I was so tired and I was so deflated. Like, I just felt in every area of my life that I was failing. And so I went back to the gym full time. And a month after I went back to the gym that I was personal training at for many years, the nutritionist that was there, she got fired. And so they asked me to fill in to her spot because they knew I was a nutritionist, but they just obviously didn't have, you know, there wasn't a need to have two. And they asked me to fill in. And so I thought, okay, this is my big break. There's a gym. Clients are right there. Like, I'm going to make this work for myself. And I basically repeated the same thing because I didn't do anything differently. Right? They gave me the nutritionist position. And within, you know, 60 days of being there, I had to have another very hard conversation with the manager, the sales manager. And she said, you're not contributing to the quota. And I didn't even know what that meant. Like, I didn't even know what quota, like, what quota am I not, like, I don't, what is quota? Like, what does that mean? Like, I was a nerd. Like, I was a trainer and I was a nutritionist. Like, I went to school for applied human sciences, which is really like leadership and coaching. I didn't know, like, what is quota? And so She literally had to explain it to me. And I was like, oh, I can't hit that goal. Like, I sell my hourly sessions for $97. Like, I can't contribute $5,000 a month in sales. Like, it's not possible. And so she turned to me and she said, why do you have to do it that way? Like, why do you have to sell 60-minute sessions? Can't you do it like how we do it in the personal training department where you sell packages and you sell small groups? And I was like, well, because that's not the way I was taught. And so
I had the same sort of experience at one point before this coaching business in the early 2000s. I had a health and wellness business and everyone was like doing hourly. And I was like, this does not work. Now, my experience, my aha moment was with a coach because I was like, okay, I'm not going to be poor. I have to figure out how to run a business. But similar story of like, no one teaches, like, I was really good at the delivery, but no one teaches you the business side and how to approach that. And when I flipped that switch, suddenly I was one of the people in the Bay Area, was when I lived in California, that was making the most in this field because I was like, oh, this is how you do it. And I was working, I was delivering a superior service because I wasn't stressed about money and flipping out about it. So totally feel you on that.
Yes, exactly. So we had that conversation. And, you know, sometimes it's like, I don't know if I'm sure you've also, you said you had your experience with a coach, but like, it was like the right place at the right time with the right conversation where I was so frustrated with myself that I was even open to hearing, like, why do you have to do it that way? Like, can't you do it another way? And I was like, huh, I don't know. Like, can I? You know, and it was that first time where I was like, do I have to do it this way? Can I do it another way? And what would that other way be? And so the only thing at the time was Weight Watchers, like in terms of, because she said to me, she's like, why can't you sell groups? Like, sell group sessions. Like, we sell it in PT. Like, we put four people in an hour. Like, it, you know, quadruple, like it, more yeah. money. And so I went and I signed up for Weight Watchers because it was the only group program that existed back then.
Oh, this right? is it's really a, smart. So you was, were like, I need to figure out what the model is. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good.
And I, because I said, I was like, I don't know how to do group. We weren't taught group anything. Like, I don't know yeah. how to do that. And I was in a gym. So I was like, everybody wants to lose weight. So I went and I signed up for Weight Watchers and I did. I took notes on everything and how they ran their, you know, group coaching calls, which was their weekly weigh-ins. And everybody was operating off the same plan. And these people were just, you know, coaches that came in off the street and they, and everything was so systematized.
Yeah.
And so from that example, I was able to create my very first program, which I called Wow Weight Loss, because what do you say to somebody when they lose a lot of weight? You go, wow. So I called it Wow Weight Loss. And within, you know, a couple of months of creating that program, I had three different groups going. Each one had 12 to 15 people. And I was like, okay, here we go. And that was the start of it all, basically.
I love it. I love it.
I want to take a moment to share something that's near and dear to me. It's an invitation to you, the high achiever. Now, you're not just any ambitious woman. You're already walking a path of exceptional success. But if you're honest, there are moments where you're so busy that life just passes you by. You're getting ahead, but ultimately making a trade, success or life. What if you no longer had to barter a full life for a life full of success? Welcome to the idea of captivating power, our 2024 exquisite experience. This is not just any leadership training or travel adventure. This is a fully lived experience of the principles you are learning in this podcast series and more. Join me for a never-to-be-repeated intimate journey to Paris and Venice aboard the Orient Express, designed exclusively for six remarkable women. Currently, with only three spaces remaining, our journey is already 50% full. Apply now for a spot on this extraordinary journey. For more information and to secure your spot, go to theunstoppablewoman.com/join.
So I want to go back to a few things here because there's some key points in this story that I would like to flesh out. Yeah. One is that the self-advocacy part, you said food, mindset, and self-advocacy. And I want to dive in. We talk a lot about mindset, so we're going to talk about that here, but I want to talk about self-advocacy and I want to talk about food as well, because so many women who are entrepreneurs have, and women in business too, you're in a high powered job and you're going nonstop. Some people have it all dialed in. They've got their workouts, they've got their food, but other people have a lot of emotional eating and stress eating happening. Yes. And I want to dive into some of the nitty gritty. I think that would be really helpful, not just from the, like what you had to do to shift your business and your health, but like, why is it so hard? Let's just start there. Why is it so hard for women, especially women of a certain age in their 40s and 50s, still going, right?
Yeah.
To let go of the weight and to have a great relationship with food? Because, and Lori, I just have to like do the transparency bit and then I'm going to give you the mic. Like, I think I've been dieting since I was seven. Right. Same. And I don't think that that is an unusual experience for the great American female. Right.
Nope,
and at some point I said, F this, this was this past year, F this, I'm never dieting again. At which point I was like, I'm just going to eat healthy and eat what I want and exercise well and see what happens. At which point 2 weeks later, I was on my next diet. Right. Like it was, it was like, but that feels out of control.
Yes.
I've subsequently had that conversation with myself again and am like having a much more loving relationship with food.
Yes.
But like, I'm a strong advocate for, and I'm not, if people are listening to the podcast, I'm a healthy weight. I'm not overweight, but I've got that extra sort of, I'm 53, that extra 10 pounds that isn't
going to. You're 53?
I know.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I know.
Good genes, great mindset.
Yeah.
Living well. Like side note, tangent, like I teach around how to create an exquisite life, how to live well. And part of living well is earning money, right? Having enough money.
To take care of yourself. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
To, you know, have, you know, I have nice makeup and I have nice haircuts and I have nice clothes and I have healthy organic produce and I have a beautiful house and I don't have a lot of stress about money, except the stress that I create when I'm doing something crazy in my business. Right.
Right.
But living well is partly really making that financial flow happen, but it's also your relationships,
100%.
Your health, like whether you're living your dreams, whether you're actually actualizing the dreams that you had as a kid versus that resistance. And so anyways, I think that affects.
Yes.
What you look like. Also, good genes. Thanks, mom. Thanks, dad.
We have this conversation all the time in my world because I do work with thousands of practitioners and coaches who do all different kinds of different sort of specialties in terms of burnout and, you know, blood sugar and weight management, diabetes, inflammation. So we have this conversation a lot. I'm 42. I am most certainly in perimenopause. My mom went through menopause, you know, she was in menopause at 45. So that means you've not had a full period for 12 months and then you go postmenopause. So I'm fully in perimenopause. The weight thing. I think that if I take my own experience of it and I'm being totally honest, there's a belief that I'm still working through that I don't get to have it all. And the way that I control that is through food. So
let's
my
just pause mantra- there, Lori. Yeah. I freaking love that you just shared that because one of the messaging that angles that we have in the business that we're just rolling out, we're just starting to speak to is like that we were told we can be anything that we want to be growing up, but you can't have it all. Like you have to do it. You can't be beautiful and smart. You can't be successful and raise a family. You can't have a hot sex life and be a good mother, whatever your dichotomies
are. Or like
are.
All of it under the same, like all of the above. So like,
and this is my mission with the exquisite life. Yes. It's like, no, we're going to show you how to have it all.
Yes. Yes.
Without being like pie in the sky about it. But so this belief, I don't get to have it all. And then you cap it. You like, you send a direction to your subconscious to make it hard and keep you at this level. That's so interesting.
Absolutely. And so the work that I've done is the belief that I am constantly working on is I'm too busy. I'm too busy to nourish my body. I'm too busy. Like, I'm too busy to prepare food. I'm too busy to work out. I don't have time. And the reality is it just, you know, I know this because I coach on this also, right? I mean, my community is made up of tens of thousands of mostly women. So this is definitely a conversation that we have a lot. I know from my own work and, you know, navigating this relationship with my body, my very, you know, changing body in my perimenopausal age, is this idea that I deserve to be nourished. It's this belief that I deserve to be nourished. And so when I am working, for example, right, and I go beyond 4 hours, right, I ate at 8 a.m. and I go beyond 4 hours and I'm hungry and I have time in my calendar blocked off for lunch, but I choose to sit here and continue to work, I am telling myself that I don't value myself enough to eat.
Yeah.
How on earth can I then turn around and coach other women if I myself won't even nourish my body with food. When I don't give myself permission to take 30 minutes to go and eat lunch, it's in my calendar.
Sit down.
I have
sit
a lunch
lookout.
Sit down, not at my computer. Like, what the, you know, like, what is that saying about me and the ideals and the core values? If like, you know, and it hit me a while ago that that was very real for me, that I was a fraud, that I would not under any circumstances move forward in coaching women, in growing my business. I mean, I have a team of 40 plus human beings that look to me as the leader. So if I literally don't give myself permission to eat lunch because I don't have time, like, and we work off of a 4-day work week because we say we value life.
Yeah. Okay.
So how valuable is my life when I'm not even going to eat lunch?
I know. I know. So I love this. I wrote it down. I deserve to be nourished, because that to me is, it encapsulates so much. It's not just the food. It's like, to me, it's being nourished by life. Like, I deserve the time, the spaciousness, the support. I deserve life to nourish me, my team to nourish me, my food to nourish me, my environment.
Nourishment.
Yeah.
Like, for women to receive, it's very difficult, right? For us to receive support, for us to genuinely receive nourishment and love is actually quite difficult, because everything, because that it feels weak. And so if, especially being a businesswoman, right, we're operating so much from a place of strength. We're operating so much from a place of, I don't need anybody. I can do this by myself. Like,
yeah, this is, right? This is the masculine, right? The masculine is the container, the structure, the discipline and the determination. And we forget how to, well, first, law of gender says you need both to create life. We all know this. Sperm, egg need to come together. Can't do it on your own. Mm-hmm. So if we as women are all in our masculine, we don't know how to receive.
Exactly. And it's very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable. And so even mothering is masculine, because it's not nurturing when you're in charge of, you know, the mental load of mothering is very masculine. Like, everything that we do for the most part, as a mother, if you are a mother, as a business owner, even as a coach, you are sitting in a leadership, very masculine, very power-based, very authoritative space, which also jacks your nervous system.
Totally. Right? So let's pause there for one second. I want to make an argument here. So many people, I'm a coach, right? I help really accomplished, driven, ambitious women take it to the next level. And oftentimes they struggle with something like food, right? Yeah. And like, why can't I give myself a half an hour at lunch? Why is it so challenging? And they want accountability, and they want to go directly into, please be more masculine, like create the masculine container for me. And there's, I think, a pro and a con to this. And to my argument earlier around, like, I just want a loving relationship with food. I don't want to be on any freaking diet, because the diet is the discipline. The diet is the masculine. The diet is saying you can't trust yourself to flow in your natural ease and grace. You need to be controlled and structured. And I think this is my hypothesis that I'm working out. I think that as women, we actually need to step more into our feminine, more into that flow, more into trusting the movement, the ease, the creative ideas, the internal regeneration, that nourishing part of us. Yes. If we allowed that to be, we wouldn't need as much of the structure. Mm-hmm. We need to learn to trust that, have an appropriate amount of structure. But I think we fight against, we say we want the structure, but we're actually in resistance to it and at counter purposes. And we don't get to truly be in the magical flow of life where you're integrating the two. And it feels like a freaking grind and like we're being punished by the diet or punished by the thing on our calendar that says, mm-hmm. go have lunch right now.
I think there's two cultural norms that contribute to that. One, the busyness equals worthiness belief.
Yep.
Right?
100%.
God forbid you should sit down and watch a TV show at 3 o'clock in the afternoon before your kids get off the bus at 3:30, for example, just to chill out, right? Like that equals lazy, like you're whatever, right? So I think this whole dilemma around if I'm not working every minute of the day, right? I.e., I'm not going to give myself 30 minutes to eat, right? It's this whole like busyness equals doing a good job at life, worthiness scenario. And then I also think in terms of like that flow that you were talking about, I wholeheartedly agree. I think that our instincts and our ability to trust ourselves was, for lack of a better word, beat out of us because that's seen as weak, right? Yeah. When it's seen as weak. And so if we're not rigid and structured and working and, you know, especially if you're type A, like if you have your own business, you subscribe to in some way, shape, or form. And it's necessary. Listen, like part of it is necessary, especially if you, because the business in and of itself needs structure.
Let's pause there, Lori, because I think this is a big question mark for women. I know it was for me. I've been working through it. I've worked through it to some degree, but this idea, this identity, you started our conversation with the I am statements, right? Like we build this identity around what's been successful in this world. Mm-hmm. And we look and we see, okay, the uber successful, they've hustled, they've grind, they're always going, they're up earlier, staying up later, they're doing the schedules on all sides, right? And there is evidence that working hard puts you ahead. And yet yes. I know one of the biggest things that I learned when I was growing my business was it's the right kind of work that makes 100%. The difference. But then we do get attached and addicted to yes. the busy when at a certain point you have to learn how to do it differently. And I think a lot of women feel like I want the spaciousness. I want the ease and flow. I want the fruits of my labor. But I'm afraid that if I change how I'm doing my business, my work world, I am going to lose the cash flow. I'm going to lose my edge. It's cash flow, edge. What would I do with myself? Total identity crisis.
100%.
Yeah. How do you speak to that?
So to yourself? I think a couple of things because I genuinely like to work. I love it. I love what I do. Some of my happiest days are leave me alone, don't talk to me, and let me sit here for 16 hours. Like, let me just do that. Because if I'm in a project, like, I love it. I love doing that. And I've built my business in such a way that it can completely exist without me. And so that because I'm a single mom, I have two kids, and they're very busy. They're very busy children. They're, you know, 12 and 15. And I've built this way on purpose because I knew that I wanted to be a very present mom. I knew that I wanted to have both, that I wanted to be very successful and that I didn't ever want to have to miss a school teacher interview, that I am the mom that goes on the apple picking trips and the volunteering. And I don't do the PTA because that's with the parents, but you know, I'm the mom that, you know, picks the kid up in the middle of the day because they're sick and I can easily cancel my day. So I think that it comes to one of the things that I wish that somebody explained to me when I first started is know what makes you thrive. So for me, my strength is that of achievement. I thrive when I feel like I'm achieving. I am not an idle person personally. I don't sit and read books. I will listen to an audiobook when I'm driving and doing, but like, I am not that person. So I think number one, you need to know who you are.
I think so many successful entrepreneurs, so many successful women in the C-suite are that. They are achievers, right? Yes. They thrive on achievement, setting that goal, right, getting it done, feeling like they're moving forward, progressing. And yet there's a point.
Yes, there's a big problem.
Where you go, oh my God, I'm addicted to this and I can't stop and 100%. I don't have the rest of my life.
Yes. The problem is when you are like me and you feel you are not an idle person, you feel best when you're achieving and your only achievements come from your work, that begins to be a problem, right? When you have nothing outside, and that's how I got to where I am, because everything was work. And when you don't have a good month and you don't feel like you're achieving at work, when you don't feel like you're growing at work, right? As business owners, not every month is amazing. Not every month is a high cash month. You know, there are times where it's not great. And, you know, that can last for a week or 2 weeks or 3 months or 6 months. It just depends on the problem. And so for me, what I had to do in order to not have high highs and low lows so that I could feel like I was nourishing myself regardless was I had to figure out how to mimic those feelings of achievement in my personal life. And I think that's where a lot of women go wrong, is that everything is either wrapped in their family or it's wrapped up in the business or whatever. And they actually don't have an identity outside of mother, CEO, coach. I don't like any job title because I'm just Lori. Like, I'm just Lori. And so for me, I had to figure out ways to feel the way that I wanted to feel like I was achieving outside of work. So
give
that
us
I
an
didn't
example
work
of that.
Okay. So I am not someone who likes to move my body on my own. I had a very hard time.
This is fascinating since you were a personal trainer.
I know. Okay. But it's because I still battle. I don't have time for this.
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
it's
because
that belief is I don't have time. So for me, I'm not the person that's going to join a gym. I'm not self-motivated to go to the gym and kick my own ass. I'm just not. So one of the ways that I was like, okay, how can I feel like I'm showing up in the way that I want, that I'm setting a good example, that I am moving my body, because obviously important. I'm also 42. Like, I know what happens when you age and you don't have lean muscle mass. Like, I know what happens, right? Especially for women. And so I was like, okay, I hired a personal trainer. He comes to my house 3 days a week and I set some goals with him. Right. So,
and this is why, pause for a moment. This is why it's important that you have your cash flow going and also that you have your priorities in the right place.
Exactly.
Okay? Yep. Some people who have the cash flow still think it is a waste of money to spend money like this on themselves. And it's so,
well,
what Lori did was recognize her weakness and go create that. You know, my man is like, you know, why are you working out with a personal trainer? I'll give you a workout. That's fine. You know, not sexual. Sorry. That sounded a little bit edgy.
I was like, listen, that's amazing.
Well, that's fun too. But And I'm super happy for him to do that. And I love it. And it's supportive and it feels great. But I know that that works because we're doing it together. That works because he's showing up for me and I'm meeting him. Okay. Mm-hmm. But it's not, you know, and I have a personal trainer too, but it's not, I just have to go to the gym because I'm the same way. Like, on that sort of stuff, I'll take a walk. I'll do a long walk and listen to podcasts or something like that. But actually a hard workout, that's a more challenging thing to
100%
set aside time
and
for.
And some people are good with it. I am not one of those people. Right. Yeah. So for me, I needed to feel like I was, first of all, in alignment with what I preach, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, being healthy and nourishing your body. And, you know, I think that when you don't nourish your body with food and you don't move your body, with all due respect, because I know this might activate some people, it does say a lot about self-worth. Like, you can make millions of dollars, but if you are not nourishing your body and you are not moving your body because you don't think you have time. Like, and I'm sitting here saying, like, this is the belief I still have. So like, I have the trainer comes to my house 3 days a week. And so that way I feel like I'm achieving things, right? That way I feel like, okay, I am working towards these very specific goals that I have with him in terms of like lifting things. And I fractured my spine a year ago. So like rehabbing my, I fell down walking the dog, you know, like those kinds of things, right? So that's achieving. The other thing is property, right? I set goals to purchase property, right? So learning how to pick good properties, learn, like, so it's outside of work, but it's in work, but it's still learning. It's still achieving. It's still growing. It's still doing something, but it's not directly like creating new campaigns and managing my team. But I set goals there, right? In that regard. And then also, and I know this might sound ridiculous, but you know, food. I set a goal that I was going to meal prep on Sunday every single week. That's very difficult for me to do. Like, it is very hard. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of time. And I get my groceries delivered. Like, I don't even go to the grocery store. Could I hire somebody to do it? Sure. You know, do I have part-time help at home that does help me? Yes, I do. And I still made a list of like things that I'm going to prep on Sundays every week so that I can nourish my body.
Yeah. And so, you know, one like thing that I think about when I think about the meal prep stuff, and right now I'm not in a phase of doing that, but there is a, I believe that energy is communicated, and the energy of love that you put into your prepping of your meals, like that this is like, I am nourishing myself by doing this, builds that. It's a little woo, but there's something different in the food than if your assistant makes the food. Though your assistant could do it with love, and that would be very nourishing as well.
Yes.
Right now I'm in a phase of, which I'm really enjoying, is going to, do you know that chain called Chopped Creative Salad?
Yep.
And I'll go and I'll get a salad. And it's my end of day routine. It, like, I call my man on the phone. I take the dog. We go for a little drive. We get there. It's about a half an hour, right? And it's my transition.
Yeah.
And it creates spaciousness. It's delicious. I eat half for dinner, half for lunch the next day. And it feels nourishing to me because of that whole experience around it. Yeah. So I think, just to give our listeners, there's multiple ways of doing this.
100%.
But leaning into something that nourishes you outside of the work and world.
I want to say one more thing about this meal prep thing. You know, I know there's all these services you can purchase, like buy and all of that. The reason that I do it is to reprogram my brain. I have time for my priorities.
Yes.
Like, that's the honest to God. That's the reason that I don't like to cook. I'm not a cooker. Like, I don't like to make these elaborate meals, but the reason that I do it is to prove to myself that I do have time. And it's funny, cause this is like a new thing for me. Like the meal prepping, the workouts I've been doing with a trainer since last March, but the food, and especially I have, you know, teenagers, I never want to hear there's no food in the fridge like that. Yeah. I could like murder. Like,
I think that's such a important point, because all those food delivery services, and you can find some good ones, and I've done them, there's efficiency to that.
Exactly.
But
it reinforces the belief.
Yeah.
I don't have time. Yeah. Right. This is not a priority.
And I don't feel the love when I unpack the frozen meal. Mm-hmm.
It's another task to check off, for me at least. That's how I viewed it. And I was like, no, I'm really going to make this shift for myself this year. Like, 2023 was really, like I said in January, it was really the year that I was going to really I was really going to make this shift in my own identity. You know, we have a 4-day work week. There has to be time. Like, I didn't do this business, you know, create this business and work this hard. I love hard work. Like, I am an advocate for hard, focused work. It's needed. Now, what the difference between hard, focused work that I do now and the work that I was doing before was I would sit and do nonsense things because I was like, I didn't put in 12 hours today.
Yeah.
Before
that's
I'm
not the effective.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
And now it's like I worked for 4 hours. I got done everything I needed to get done. I know I'm going to work a little bit on the weekend because I just do. It's my schedule when I don't have my kids. It's like I have the freedom to be able to do that. And I was like,
cool. I want to go back to something, Lori, that you said in your sort of journey story at the beginning, which is that there was that moment where you felt really alone. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you didn't feel supported. And one of the things that I really try to build for my clients, what I talk about with our Exquisite Life Plan methodology is like, how do we lean into the support that is always here for us and start recognizing that it's here and move from that place where I'm not supported. I have to do it all myself to a level of trust and faith and being able to receive support. So where do you think you are in that journey, and how have you gone about doing that?
I want to take a moment to share something that's near and dear to me. It's an invitation to you, the high achiever. Now, you're not just any ambitious woman. You're already walking a journey of exceptional success. You're getting ahead, but ultimately making a trade. Your ambitions or an exquisite life. What if you no longer had to barter a full life for a life full of success? Welcome to the idea of captivating power, our 2024 exquisite experience. This is not just any leadership training. This is a fully lived experience of the principles you're learning in this podcast series and so much more. Join me for an intimate journey to Paris and Venice aboard the Orient Express, designed exclusively for 6 remarkable women. We're only running this program once, and currently, with only 3 spaces remaining, our journey is already 50% full. For more information and to secure your spot, go to theunstoppablewoman.com/join.
So I'm going to be completely honest here. I think that there is a level of, especially as the business grows, there is still a level of not many people understand what it feels like to have this kind of business, especially women, right? A lot of my friends are employees. You know, I have like buckets of people in my life. You know, I have my 20-year-old friendships, you know, from university, and they're my best friends, and they saw me through my divorce and they saw me through all the things, but I don't talk to them about my work. They don't really even know, like my best friends, like that's not what that relationship is, right? That is, you know, my 20-year-old best friends. And so there's a level of, they don't see the full me. Like they know me through and through, but like they don't see that side of me because I don't bring that to the table in that relationship. And then there's my, you know, business friend relationships, my business besties. And, you know, I have a few of them that really get it, you know, and that we're brutally honest with each other. And in those relationships, I feel like I can fully be myself, right? Yeah. Where, you know, I'm not alone. But at the end of the day, it's not anybody else's job either to make me feel whole, right? It's no one else.
I don't think it's anyone else's job to make you feel whole, but I do feel like there is a level of support that if we can trust and lean into and be less controlling about how it has to look,
then
we can receive more. And it's something that I think a lot of women, especially who are, you know, achievers, who are doers, who are very accomplished, have a hard, they've had so much success doing it on their own that it's challenging to lean into that.
One of the things that I realized I was doing to block that for myself was putting on this tough exterior. Like when somebody says, are you fine? Yeah, I'm fine. I'm good. And never really opening up, never really communicating. And so I think in doing a lot of reflection in terms of why don't I feel supported by other people? Because I've asked myself that many times, right? And it's like, because they don't think you need it. That was my honest answer, was because—
Yeah, we're always first cause, Lori. Like we're always first cause. So we're the ones like putting this out to this world and we're going to get back what we put out. Yeah.
Yes. And so I had to go first. I had to ask for it. I had to say, you know, I'm feeling really low today. Can I just vent to you for a minute? You know, like I had to, it was very uncomfortable for me. It still is. It's easier now. But I think when, you know, especially for me, I'm a single mom and I have a good sized business. So I handle a lot and I take a lot on, and it's easier for me to just power through than it is to stop and actually feel.
Short term though.
Feel, long term, you know what I mean? Like
it bites you in the butt.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's one of the things that, I see a lot of. We have a high level mastermind, and you know, the women who join are like you, right? Super driven, super achievers. They're go-getters. They're used to being the one that is the provider, the archetype of provider, the one that creates structure. Yeah. And yet they have this gnawing underneath the surface of like, I am alone. I have to do it all myself. I don't have support. Yeah. And what's beautiful to see is when you get a group of really strong women together and there is a container that allows both vulnerability and wisdom and their intelligence. Like, we're not going to like undermine your kick-assness, but you get to really show up with the truth of what's going on for you right now. Boy, does that change things for people, like in terms of being able to lean into life
100%.
And feel supported. Yeah.
And I think it's so important. Like, I have this, my one best friend, and she's in the industry also. And we understand the truth of it all, you know, and there are days, like if I'm, you know, being honest, there are days where like your life is on fire and you feel less than stellar, but you have to show up because you have to go to work and you leave. Sometimes it's not possible to cancel or do whatever, and you have to leave it at the door because that's also a level of professionalism that, you know, I think is important. Right. Because there are things that like my team is my team is counting on me. I can't just be like, oh, my life's on fire. Sorry. Like I can't, you know, and then you have that one best friend or that one business bestie or that one group of people, or that one group of women to be like, I just need you to know that I'm falling apart. I'm going to pull it together. But like, I just need somebody to know the truth of what's going on in my life right now. And then they rally. And I think that that's so, and they check in on you and you're like, you can do it. Go put some makeup on. Like, you'll be fine. Like, you know, and I think that's really important because for a lot of us, we do have the inner strength to show up when our worlds are on fire. And if there is no one there who knows the truth, then you do feel alone. You do feel isolated. You do feel like you're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders. And there has to be people in your corner, like wiping your tears and pushing you back in on the floor.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay. Really great conversation. Love where this went. So, so good. Before I have some final questions for you. Before I ask those, where can people find out about the Wellness Business Hub and all the stuff that you do professionally?
I think the best place would be Instagram. It's Lori, L-O-R-I, Kennedy, like the president, I-N-C. So it's Lori Kennedy, Inc. And you can just go there, and then whatever's going on, you know, at the hub, we chat about it. I also share a lot of my own personal life behind the scenes as a single mom, someone with pretty severe inattentive ADHD, you know.
Welcome to entrepreneurship.
Right? You know, and I do talk a lot about that. So if that, you know, and how I handle it and like little tips and whatever. So if that interests you, come on over to Instagram. I think that's probably the best place to hang out.
Okay. Fantastic. And we'll put that in the show notes as well. So I want to just reflect that I'm really grateful for you to share your journey, share your story, share the transparency of the things that you're currently challenged with, not just in the past challenged with, and how you're working through them and what you're doing to stay unstoppable in your life. Cause you know, it's not about quitting. It's about like one foot in front of the other, but it's not also not about like pretending everything's perfect, perfect. So I love that. So thank you for that. What is it that you love most about yourself?
My level of resilience. And I've always been like that. And I, you know, it's funny, as I mentioned ADHD, I think I didn't know that I was impulsive until like 2 years ago. I didn't know that I had impulsivity. I was like, oh, this is just me. That's what I love about myself, is that like, I make fast decisions. I'm not all up in my head, and I walk my talk. Like, it might take me a while, but it's like, it's a constant work of improvement. And I feel very proud of myself for that.
Resilience is such a big one. So good. So good. And I'm a proponent of quick decisions, unless they need to be like, there's a time and a place. Like, I'm a quick decider. And then there's a time and a place where I'm like, I don't have clarity and yeah. I just need to sit with this. And that's fine too.
Yeah.
What doesn't work is that, like, you know what to do, but you're not making the decision. That's not me.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's not me.
Yeah. Final question. What is the biggest mindset shift you had to make in, say, the last couple of years?
Did I get to have it all?
Yeah.
That makes me so uncomfortable in my body even to say it, because it's like, being single, it was like, well, maybe this is what it is. You know, who gets to actually have it all?
Like, you do. The good, you know
what I mean? But that was the mindset, right? It was like, I have the money. I have the freedom. I have the business. I have a phenomenal team. I love what I do. I'm obsessed with what I do. I have phenomenal family. Like, I have a lot of amazing things, but like, I was like, okay, maybe I'll just be single for the rest of my life. Like, maybe partnership isn't in the cards, because who gets to have it all? So like, that's the mindset stuff that I'm working with. Cause it's like, when I find that partner, it like sort of completes the puzzle. And I was like, then I really like, who gets to really have it all? Like, what?
Yeah. So Lori, so this is like near and dear to my heart, because I recently went through something very similar. I was in a relationship. It was great in the beginning. Then it kind of became good, not terrible, but I'm all about like exquisite and extraordinary and amazing. So really was like, okay, I'm ending that, because I want this. And it was so big for me to claim, not just that I was going to be in a relationship, but the level of relationship that I was going to be in was a reflection of being supremely lovable. And that was a core wound, right? Like, I would get into these great relationships, great in quotes, but they did not reflect that I was lovable. I still had to support myself and be in my masculine and not let my guard down to a certain degree. So I got super clear about exactly what I wanted and like just kept at it in my thinking. I went through a whole process on this. That's and amazing. Manifested the most amazing man in the whole freaking world. And I just want to let you know, yes, you can have it all. And once you have that, Lori, then you're going to be like, oh, because you're an achiever, you're an archetype, right? Of like going for more. You're going to be like, oh, what's the next level, love? Like, what's the next level in this relationship? How can I receive that and that and that? And it unfolds in ways that I couldn't see it when 100%. I was beginning, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was stretching. I thought I was like claiming exactly what I wanted, and it was. And yet there's more. And I know there will be even more beyond this.
That's awesome.
So I sprinkle magic fairy dust on you.
I receive it.
Yeah.
I receive it.
Okay. So good. Such a great conversation. Really love what you're doing and what you stand for in this world. Thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast. You're so welcome. And thank you, listeners, for tuning into another great interview on the Unstoppable Woman podcast. I'm Amira Alvarez. I am the founder and CEO of the Unstoppable Woman. Check us out on all our social media platforms and put a little marker in your mind that we are going to be rolling out the Exquisite Life Plan event. We will have the Exquisite Life Plan out there, and you can check it out at theunstoppablewoman.com/ELP for Exquisite Life Plan. So thanks for being a loyal listener, subscribing, commenting, all of that. And I'll see you in the next episode. Take care and have a great unstoppable day. Most ambitious women I work with already have good lives, possibly even great. But there's often this one area that is fine as is, but not yet exquisite. And yet, when we unlock that one area, they access a whole new level. I want to personally invite you to book a complimentary call with me and discover what that unlock
could do for you. These calls are for women who have done at least a million or more in their business or executive career and are ready for an exquisite life inside and out. You can book our conversation at theunstoppablewoman.com/connect.